Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
O Lord, my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and it shall be created. Let us pray. O God, it instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe. St. Joseph. Father Lanteri, St. Ignatius, St. Nicholas, all God's angels and saints. The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret and tied up there. As they were leaving the boat, people immediately recognized him. They scurried about the surrounding country and began to bring in the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Whatever villages or towns or countryside he entered, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak, and as many as touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Oh, good evening. Read that passage because whether we like it or not, we're constantly in a transition from being sick to being healed. That's true physically. We all have physical maladies once you arrive at a certain age. But also the spiritual maladies that we suffer from are part of being human, part of being influenced by original sin, part of giving in to personal sin, and so that's part of our reality. But the good news is that God is always willing to heal us if we want to be healed. And the healing process can take a long time, or it can take a short time, or can take time in between the two extremes. The means by which we receive healing is contact with Christ. Christ is the divine physician. Christ heals many, and we read through the gospel, and he's always ready to heal us. So every time you make a good holy hour, some of you cannot make in front of the Blessed Sacrament. When you make the Holy Hour, there's healing simply by being in contact with Christ. So every authentic prayer that we make, there's healing that's taking place. once again, if we allow the Lord to heal us. But then the Eucharist has a secondary effect. The primary sacramental effect of the Eucharist is nourishment. And the secondary effect is that of healing. And then through confession, frequent, well-prepared confessions, there's healing, and that is the sacrament of God's healing. That is the grace that differentiates it from the other sacraments. Secondarily, the anointing of the sick, there's healing of body and soul. But the specific sacramental grace of confession is healing. So, most of you have recourse to this sacrament with a certain frequency. Never forget that when you go there, one of the effects, the primary effect, if you confess well, is you're going to be leaving a person that's more healed. Amen? And that should give you a lot of consolation and peace. And that Christ, He wants to heal us. So the healed people that touched the tassel of His cloak, He healed from a distance, He healed by His word, or like today, He healed by touching the blind. So He's not losing potency or power as the centuries pass by, but God is the same yesterday, today, and always, as we read in the book of Revelation. One of the attributes of God is He's immutable. It means that God never changes. Okay, so that's our intro. We're going to return to a number that's probably going to make you laugh and cry at the same time. It's a number which is, we're going to read that, and all of you are going to say, I know someone like that. Okay? Or you might say that, oh, I'm like that. Or you might say, I used to be like that. It's a very, very human, very normal, very common happening in our lives. Okay, so we're there at 181. All of you have your sheets. Okay, today I was cleaning the room of one of the sisters. One thing that occurs to me, being one of nine, I'm one of nine kids. Are any of you from a big family like that? Probably not. How many of you are you? One of, okay. My thought right away is, why the heck is she cleaning this? Let her do it herself. I mean, that's... I don't remember ever in my life one of my brothers cleaning my room for me. Well, maybe indirect. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. Indirectly, because I shared a room with one of my brothers for 17 years. So, in a certain sense, we're living in the same room. But maybe because I'm kind of a diehard American, you do it yourself, no? So I'm wondering, why is she cleaning the room with his sister? Do it yourself. Can you imagine your son Tony going to Therese and say, could I clean your room for you, Elia? Would that happen?
No.
So I think it's, that's just a thought that occurs to me. Maybe I'm just too independent, no? And it could have been, well, maybe let's cut her some slack. Maybe it was a sister that was 94 and a half years old, okay? Let's give a positive interpretation to this. So that was cleaning the room of one of the sisters. Although I was trying to clean it with utmost care, What does that mean? She's got goodwill, right? With utmost care, she kept following me all the time. Hey, that's terrible, isn't it? You ever experienced that? Maybe you're doing something, someone's behind you, like your shadow watching over, looking over your shoulder. No, at work. Do you like that? It probably bugs the heck out of you, right? It's a very human number, isn't it? No. So she kept following me all the time. So she's there in an hour in the room. She's following every step. What would you say? You don't like it? Do it yourself, right? Do it yourself, no? I'm going, no? And she says, you've left a speck of dust. You know what a speck of dust is? It's microscopic. I have to get a magnifying glass to see it. High-powered magnifying glass to see that speck. The breath of the other nun over her shoulder is probably more specks. Speck of dust here, and there's a spot on the floor there. At each of her remarks, I did each place over a dozen times. Not one or two or three, a dozen means, if you don't know English well, that means 12 times. Okay, after that she'll be happy, right? Let's see what happened. Dozen times just to satisfy her. And she said, it's not work that makes me tired, but all this talking and excessive demands. No? Wow, what a headache, huh? You know, we've all experienced that to a limited degree, no? You might have a wife that's a nagger, a husband that's a nagger, or maybe both of them are naggers. It's called the Nag Club. My whole day's martyrdom. What does that mean? My whole day's martyrdom was not enough for her. So after that, the nun was still going to go after her, no? So what happens? The nun goes there and she complains. So she went to the directress, that would be the superior, and complained. It's not the Beatles song is getting better all the time, but it's getting worse all the time, right? She says, Mother, who is this careless sister who doesn't know how to work quickly? You work quickly because you're forcing me to work slowly. Wonder if that happens to Felipe. If you're working around the house, and if maybe you don't do it well, your wife is getting on top of you. You didn't lift up that speck of dust or that spot there, you know. So they give Felipe and his wife a sheet, no? The next day, I went again to do the same job. Okay, say for example you go to bed that night. You're gonna have a lot of consolation, right? A lot of desolation, right? And you don't have to go back and do the same job the following day. I'm getting out of this convent, right? I went again to do the same job without trying to explain myself. For me, my friends, this is a sign of great holiness. This little passage here. You read through this and you see what this nun does, and this is heroic virtue. What would you do? I know what you would do. You'd go to Mother Superior and tell her exactly what you did and how she complained, right? We all have a very keen sense of justice, don't we? That's what we do. In a certain sense, it wouldn't be wrong, but this nun is inspired by the Holy Spirit to suffer. This is, the fifth degree of humility? So, you know, I really love reading this with you people because it motivates us to see the work we still have to do in our own lives. No? We haven't arrived at the heights of holiness yet. We could probably grow in humility, huh? This is just it's a masterpiece, the spiritual depth, the mystical level, but also the practical, common sense reality that you're going through. Without trying to explain myself. There she is. So apparently she's going back, you got to go back to the same room. No? I would have thought at least, maybe I'm going to go to another room. Maybe there's, the next room, there's not going to be a nun in the other room. No. Or if I go there, there's going to be a nun that's going to leave, that will be more more patient with me. I know she's got to go back to the same room. She started driving me. I thought, Jesus, one can be a silent martyr. Jesus, one can be a silent martyr. I know about you people, maybe you're much more holy than I am. But I think that this would be good to apply to Rule 13. Maybe to go to your spiritual director and complain about it. I think I might, no? Instead of gossiping and, you know, bad-mouthing her and criticizing her and slandering her or condemning her, go vent or air it out with your director. So we have some directors here. Get ready for that, okay? Or maybe you have to do it. Tell people they're really going through a tough time. You come in my room, you can pound my desk, you can take all my Kleenex, you can kick the wall if you want, but don't lack in charity toward your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, no? Get it all out here. Yeah, more than once, a person comes in my room, pounding it, why me, complaining, angry, you know, taking all my Kleenex, which is fine. I can always get more Kleenex. It's not that expensive. Or I can maybe get a collection after this talk here. No? And then after the person is complaining for a half minute, Father, thank you. You resolved my problem. How? Just listen. And Viktor Frankl calls it logotherapy. If we read Viktor Frankl, great psychologist, hmm? Logotherapy, which means the therapy of the word. Logotherapy. Now, it's an interesting thing because I think we talked about this maybe 2 years ago, but let's just revisit it. Should we always be quiet? Let me give you a couple of examples in the lives of the saints. Because I'll give you an example, and then I'll tell you what Francis de Sales says. Gerardo, who's your patron saint? You forgot. Okay, his name is Jerry Magella. Okay. Yeah, you know, Hispanic call him Gerardo, but yeah, speaking English. Jerry Magella. One day I invite you to read his life, Gerardo. Very interesting. He was an Italian that lived about 200 years ago. He was a redemptorist. He was preparing to be a priest, but like Dominic Savio, he died young. He was very holy. He was someone like Padre Pio that he had mystical gifts that he could kind of read into the future. For example, his mother was very in danger of dying in childbirth, and he knew this through inspiration. He ran back to the house, placed a green scapula on her, and the baby was born. So he's a patron of women having babies, too. Did you know that, Gerardo? No, Padre? Okay. But it's interesting. A lot of mystical graces. One of the graces, though, was this, and you're going to say that this was not a grace at all, is that a woman slandered him, calumniated. A woman said that he was having relations with her, and he was a religious with vows. And who was still living in that time? St. Alphonsus was still living. He was the founder of the Redemptorists. So he's living. The end of the life of Alphonsus. Alphonsus is going to be lived to almost 91. So he was accused of immorality with a woman. The woman may have been married or single, but immorality, breaking his vows flagrantly. He never opened up his mouth. Was that good or bad? Read his life if you don't believe me, no? And till finally, it must have been maybe a year or two, I don't know the exact time that elapsed, but the woman owned up to it and said that she had lied and she'd slandered him. And then talking to Alphonsus, he said, "Why didn't you?" He said that Jesus was unjustly condemned. He didn't open up his mouth, and I wanted to imitate Jesus. Wow. Jesus suffered, the innocent Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I wanted to suffer like Jesus. So I didn't want to defend myself. And during the whole time when he was being slandered, he never lost his peace of soul. The sign that was the good spirit wanted him to just suffer in silence. And basically he said, if God wants to, God will intervene and he will exonerate me. And it happened. Second example, Dominic Savio. Some of you have read The Life of Dominic Savio? Okay. The Life of Dominic Savio, written by Bosco, they're in this schoolroom where there's a potbelly furnace. They didn't have central heating like the Americans 150 years ago, did they, no? So one of the boys threw was like a snowball in the potbelly. So the room just smoked up. And they all pointed to Dominic. Someone pointed to Dominic and said, he's the one that did it. And Dominic didn't open up his mouth either. Till finally, the boy that did it said that I'm the one that did it, and Dominic is innocent. They turned to Dominic, why didn't you do it? He said, because I knew that if that boy were found out, that he would be kicked out of the oratory, and I wanted to keep him in the oratory. Wow. for the salvation of his soul. So we're talking about, you read the lives of saints and we're way up here. Way up here. And we're kind of groveling on the ground, okay, like a turtle, huh? In comparison to them. No offense, no? But they're way up here. So both of them were inspired by the Holy Spirit to practice an incredible humiliation. Okay, St. Francis Sales, commenting on this concept, says, sometimes it's best to defend yourself, because if you don't defend yourself, then that could scandalize a lot of people. Okay? If you don't defend yourself, it could scandalize a lot of people. Okay, I can give you a couple examples. Okay, half of you people here are married. Okay, what would happen if someone was spreading scandal that you're committing adultery with another man or woman? It might be better to try to, you know, defend yourself, because if your children hear this, are they going to be damaged? Hello? Then you can apply this. You can apply this to a bishop or a priest. Now we're living in a society. If someone talk to my father Larry today and the other priest. If someone wants to frame us, it's the easiest thing in the world. We're dead ducks. I mean, it's kind of scary. So pray for us. No. If someone wants to frame us and kick us out, they can do it. That's why I constantly ask you to pray for us. And I pray that the precious blood of Christ will protect me, because, hey, we're public figures. And I'm probably more than others. I'm always on the move giving missions and parishes, on the radio, on TV. The others are too. And I pray that Mary's mantle will protect me and the precious blood of Christ. For example, something like this. I'm outside on a Sunday Mass, and this 13-year-old girl comes and she hugs me after Mass. You know, especially Latinos, they're very effusive, more than the Americans and Filipinos. And then they see this and they take a picture of it. Oh, look at Father Broome. See how he likes that 13-year-old girl? I mean, you see what I'm saying? Therefore, you really have to pray for priests. You know, it's like we're walking on eggshells. No, we're walking like in a field of mines, and you make a misstep, you walk on the mine and it blows you to smithereens. Therefore, I trust, and we trust in your prayers, but also in the precious blood of Christ and Mary's protection. Because someone to nail us. Piece of cake with the mass media, electronics media, Instagram, no? It's the easiest thing in the world. But as we've seen, these two saints, they allowed that to happen. Francis Sales says, if you're a public figure, self-defense for the sake of the people not being scandalized is an act of justice and charity. And I applied it in a more limited way. If someone is accusing you of committing adultery and having an affair with a married man, and your children hear this, you know, you want to try to defend yourself. So these cases where these saints allow themselves to be slandered and maintain silence, it might be an exception to the rule, rather than the norm. Might be an exception to the rule. But they condemned St. Joan of Arc, what, as a witch, right? They said she was a witch. And when she was going up in flames, they said, we have killed a saint. They all said that. No? Una bruja, no? A witch. No, this is a saint. So I thought to make a comment on that related to the whole idea of silence. One of the most difficult things in the world is knowing how to speak. I repeat, one of the most difficult things in the world is knowing how to speak. When to speak, when to be silent. Okay, when to speak, what words to say. The tone of voice, when to listen. It's one of the most difficult things. But it's one of the most important things, is being able to speak the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Face it, Instagram and everything else, still the most powerful means of conversion is preaching like this. Mass media is great, but still this is the most powerful means. And it might be an invitation for us to examine our own speech. Examine the words we say. Examine our intentions when we speak. Examine the tone of our voice. Any mothers here have been accused of when you're talking to your children, they always seem as if you're kind of angry and you're kind of railing at them. You're kind of, hello? Hello? You're telling them the truth, but it sounds like you're kind of angry, you're kind of going up, but you're not even aware of it, but your daughter says, Mom, why are you yelling at me? I'm not yelling at you. I'm not yelling at you. Oh, sorry, what did you say? Okay. We all have blind spots, right? And deaf spots, too. You hear me? What? It's great stuff, isn't it? 182. 182 is an extension, kind of like a carryover of 181. You ready? I learned that certain people have a special gift for vexing others. Is that true? Well, some people have a special gift of vexing others. Vexing and hexing. Did anyone ever call you a vexer? That means bothering. They try as best they can. You know, honestly, I think there's two classes. One class is those who vex inadvertently. In other words, they don't do it on purpose, but they vex anyway, right? Right? It's the person that bugs you, no? And they're not even aware of the fact that they're bugging you. Which makes it even worse, no? If you bring it to their attention, they're going to say, well, you bug me too, right? It's mutual. Avicendas in Spanish and Italian, right? But then there are others that purposely want to vex you. That's worse because there's bad will on their part. No? If it's done inadvertently is one thing, but if it's done on purpose, that's worthy of the confessional. That's a lack of charity. No? Okay, let's move on. Then she goes on. There's a little bit of sarcasm here, I think. The poor soul that falls into their hands can do nothing right. Right? No matter what you do, It's, no matter what you do, it's wrong. It's wrong. Don't forget, you didn't get that speck yesterday. There was that spot on the table. You didn't get that off, no? You did a sterling job this day, but yet it was good, but yesterday you really failed a lot. So don't forget about that, no? Her best efforts are maliciously criticized. Do you know what malice means? That's a strong word in English. Huh? Malice, that means that there's purposely doing it with bad will, bad intention. Let's beg the Lord that we never have malice. Huh? Because one is human weakness, but malice is bad will. Huh? And let's dig a little bit deeper. One of the reasons why this happens is jealousy. Hello? When a person is jealous, jealousy leads to envy. Remember to define that. Jealousy is you feel bad because someone has something you don't have. What about envy? I taught this in the classes the past 12 years. No? Is that when something bad happens to another person, you rejoice in that. No? There's a diametrically opposed to charity, right? And what's the opposite of jealousy and envy? Well, admiration and fraternal charity. If you see someone that does something good, well, you admire that good quality. You thank and praise the Lord, and you compliment the person. St. Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Your victory is my victory. Your failure is my failure. So she's in this kind of this turmoil, this suffering, this state of criticism. And now something very beautiful happens. It's good because we're getting close to Christmas Eve. So it's almost as if an idea ends there, but still in number 182, she brings another idea that's different. Christmas Eve. You like Christmas Eve? Is it because of the tree, the eggnog, or the gifts, or is it because of the Mass? Don't open up your mouth right away. Think about it. Maybe a mixture of both, right? I think it's a great way to start off Christmas with the Mass, don't you? Usually we do our Masses pretty early, so you're able to get home before too late. Christmas Eve. Today, I was closely united with the Mother of God. How beautiful, right? And that one thought is going to pull her out of desolation. Do you think she was in desolation in number 181? I would say probably. It was maybe a minor desolation. He's being hammered by the snow. Okay, that's for us. Why don't you try to really live very close to the Blessed Mother? Good idea? How about these next 2.5 weeks? You're going to really stay close to Mama Mary. Good idea, Felipe? You approve of that? Glad you do. Hopefully this is going to be the most Marian Advent in our lives. I find if I'm in desolation, go to Mary. get out that rosary and just slowly say the Hail Mary. It's almost like that cloud. Ever do that, Eric? That cloud kind of dissipates. No? Okay, now, given that Mary has surfaced, right now in the season of Advent, we're almost in the very heart, in the next 6 days, of two of the most important Marian feast days in the Advent as well as the Christmas season, the next 6 days. And if you go to daily Mass, you know we've been making novena the past few days, right? Do you like the card? Más o menos? Beautiful card, isn't it? You like it, Fran? Yeah. Okay, so we're not celebrating the Immaculate Conception on December 8th. You liturgy experts will be able to tell me, right? It's because that's on Sunday. And what that means, that's on Sunday. So the second Sunday of Advent trumps, I shouldn't use that word, well, the word that comes to me, okay? Celebrating the Immaculate Conception. So Sunday we celebrate the second Sunday in Advent, which is a strong time. However, the Immaculate Conception is a very important, not feast, but solemnity. It's one of the few solemnities. Technically, it's not a holy day of obligation. If it falls on the Monday after the Sunday, it's not a holy day of obligation. But I don't even like to say that. Are you going to come to Mass that day? Because you're obliged? Because you love Mary, right? That's a very important feast day or solemnity because she is the patroness of the Philippines. Did you know that? You didn't know it, now you know it, okay? She's the patroness also of the United States of America. Funny, when I said this in my class this afternoon, no one knew that. Barely anyone knew it, no? You didn't know that either? You didn't. Well, now you know it, okay? The patroness of the United States is the Immaculate Conception. In the most beautiful church in the United States, St. Peter Chanel. Okay. It is the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. So after you visit the Stadium of the Nationals, okay, you should go to the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, okay? It's the biggest and most beautiful church in our country. I'm surprised none of you have ever been there before. No? Oh yeah? What do you think? Calm, beautiful, beautiful church? Yeah. I was there, I think about 26 years ago in the Marian Congress. It's just, and the chapel to Our Lady Guadalupe is gorgeous, isn't it? No? You don't remember that, no? Yeah, there's a lot of different chapels. No? My mom has written to bishops and the rector of the basilica to bring the statue of Our Lady of the Americas to that basilica where there's a niche, an open niche. And the lady said, once that's done, there's going to be peace. And then we should pray as a result of that the Holy Father will proclaim the fifth Marian dogma, which is, it is Our Lady Mediatrix of all graces, Our Lady is co-redemptrix, and Our Lady Lupe, Our Lady Help of Christians. So Our Lady, and there's approved Marian apparitions, Our Lady of the Americas, Our Lady of all nations, these are approved. Once that statue is moved into that church, it's going to be peace. The mom wrote to the rector and the bishop, not yet, Mrs. Broom. Oh, she tried, right? And there's it's in this John Paul II Center, if you've been to Washington. It's only a few steps away. There's a John Paul II Center where the statue is. It's just a matter of from, you know, almost here to the wall, I think it is. There it is, transferred. The Lady of the Americas. None of you have read that? Basically praying, the United States is called to be a model of purity. How far we are from that, right? As well as she promotes family values. But if we consecrate ourselves to Mary, we'll be able to live both. Live purity and form good families, right? Amen? Yeah. So we're going to celebrate the Immaculate Conception on Monday, which is December 9th. Which would be the feast day of Juan Diego, no? December 9th. Do you think Juan Diego's okay with that? What do you think? You think he's okay with that? I think he's happy, isn't he? Because Juan Diego's greatness is related to Mary, right? Mary and God. No? Then the 12th, we celebrate Our Lady of Fatima, right? Our Lady of Lourdes? Our Lady of Częstochowa. You got it. Thank you for correcting me. Yeah, why don't you hit 65? Be careful, no? I'm heading in that direction, no? It's Our Lady of Guadalupe, who is the patroness of Mexico and John Paul II? The Americas. John Paul II proclaimed her. She always has been the patroness of America. But John Paul II called her the patroness of the Americas. In 1986, remember where you were? I arrived just in Buenos Aires. And there were some people who said, "You don't even understand." And I said, learning my Spanish, he said, "Soy americano." "Nosotros también, somos americanos." "What? Is it true?" "Soy americano." "Hey, no. Usted es norteamericano. Usted es estadounidense." So they gave me a kind of a, the Argentinians are very blunt. They corrected me right away, no? Because if you're from Argentina, you are an American. You're a South American, right? How about Chile? Yes. How about Guatemala? Yes. How about Colombia? Yes. How about Nicaragua? Yes. Guatemala? Yes. Nigerian? No. How about Canada? Yes. Yes. So all those, so Our Lady is patron of all these countries, South America, Central America, Mexico, United States, all the way up to, what is the patron of Canada? Notre Dame del Cap, Our Lady of the Cape, right? Yeah. Our Lady of the Cape, Notre Dame del Cap. So she's the patron of all the Americas, thanks to John Paul II. Amen? She's the patron of the Philippines too, right? Amen, huh? Yeah. So Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our Lady of Guadalupe. This week in confirmation, the first year, Wednesday and Thursday, what we did was we read the whole account of Our Lady of Guadalupe to the teenagers. And I found it to be fascinating. I mean, I've read it many times. But just reading through it, you know, who Juan Diego was, the first apparition, and then the interview with the bishop, and then the second apparition, and then the interview with the bishop, and the third apparition, and then the fourth apparition in Juan Bernardino. And I felt that the kids, they're pretty kind of antsy if you're just kind of reading, but I would like read and stop and comment. I felt that they were really fascinated, as if it was the first time they'd ever heard that before. And in my class, 90% of the boys are Chicanos, they're Mexicans, no? But they'd never heard the whole story, no? Which is kind of sad, isn't it? Hello? I think if I were a Mexican mother, if I had a child that was 5 years old, I would sit him next to me and I'd tell him the whole story. I know I'm reading your mind now. You're saying, I can't tell him the whole story because I myself don't know it myself. But you really should. An experience when I used to visit homes. I used to visit homes and knock on doors like the Jehovah's Witnesses do, but I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I was in the heart of Weingarten, and I entered in with a group of missionaries and a visitor. And there was a lady from Michoacan. And on the wall there was a clock, and the clock of Our Lady Guadalupe. A clock. And the visitor who came asked the lady of the house if she knew who that was, and the lady spoke Spanish. Said, "Yeah, La Virgen Guadalupe." And the visitor said, "Do you know the story?" And the woman said, "Well, Our Lady Guadalupe, Juan Diego, and then the Telma," and that was it. So the guest said, "Well, I'd like to explain it to you." So I had to translate from English into Spanish, and the guest was going on and on and on for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, going all these graphic details to this lady from Michoacan, and the woman that explained it was actually born in Michigan. And the name of the woman was Joan Marie Broome. Okay? So my mom was explaining to this Mexican lady the whole story of Our Lady Guadalupe. I thought it was ironic, right? It really should have been the other way around. But she was saying, here, this is the year, this is Juan Diego, this is the apparition, here's the flowers, okay, here's the basilica. It was going on and on and on and on and on, and I was translating it. I think every mother that's a catechist should, I think that's one of the most powerful catechetical vehicles to teach your children is to go through Our Lady Guadalupe. Amen? And another one would be, you go through Our Lady Fatima. Both Our Lady Guadalupe and Our Lady Fatima, Lourdes also, maybe a little bit less, but Fatima and Guadalupe, you got two powerful tools to catechize children, teenagers, the young or the old, Mexicans or non-Mexicans. It's just a great, great gift that God has given to us in the person of Our Lady of Our Lady Guadalupe. Now, talking about conversion, do you know how many people are converted in Mexico in 30 years? About 8 million. So it was like a Pentecost that was happening every day for 30 years. Dan Lynch points this out. Every day for 30 years, you get close to 3,000 converts and these baptisms. So Our Lady, when she comes, she works very well. She works to save souls. And this is what I told the boys, because I teach boys confirmation, is that Juan Diego, and what I said to the boys, I say to us also. Juan Diego had a very serious problem, which was his uncle was dying. Serious, huh?
Yes.
Very serious problem. His uncle was dying. When he's rushing into the city of New Mexico to get the priest, he purposely tries to go around Tepeyac Hill. Because if he goes directly up the hill, he's going to meet that woman again. He's not going to get the priest. So he goes around and she cuts him off. She says, "Don't worry. Am I not your mother? Don't worry about him. Am I not your mother? I have you in Il Crucer de mis brazos, crossing in my arms, in my shadow. In the hueco de mi regazo," what does that mean? "In my womb. You are present in my heart, in my shadow, in my womb. Do not worry." And he was healed. And this was my message to the boys, the message to all of us. I told them, when you have problems, go to Mary. Talk to Mary. Unload your problems to Mary. Bring your sufferings to Mary. Bring your worries to Mary. Bring your confusion to Mary. Bring your sorrows to Mary. Bring even your moral failures to Mary. And as Mary helped Juan Diego, as Mary helped Juan Bernardino, Mary will help us. So that's the final message I'd like to leave to all of us, is that Our Lady Guadalupe has a great love for all of you. Never forget that. Our Lady Guadalupe has a great love for every one of you. Never be afraid to go to her, open up your heart, and tell her how much you love her, and she loves you so much. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among the blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour. The Lord be with you. Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Just so you're aware, on Sunday, the parish is going to be celebrating Our Lady Guadalupe, and we're going to have a beautiful procession from City Hall to the church. We'll be starting at 9 o'clock, so if you'd like to walk with us, we're going to be praying the rosary. We're going to have about four of the apparitions of Juan Diego, of the Blessed Mother to Juan Diego. So if you'd like to come, that'll be Sunday at 9 o'clock, and we end up here in the church, walking through the streets of wine gardens. The popes have encouraged us to participate in public processions. This pope, Benedict XVI, John Paul II, a public manifestation of our devotion is what we should do. So it's a public manifestation of our great love for Our Lady Guadalupe. Hopefully you'll be able to come.
Thou art before me and behind, and thou hast broke my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
It's So Much More than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at catholicsingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.